planners with certified financial planner Dave Pezzo. Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Pezzo Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Pezzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Pezzo.
Good morning and welcome to Money Matters. I'm Dave Pezzo. Every week I go in and visit with Kevin Miller and have an absolute blast. It's about 30 minutes every Monday. We're going to go ahead and replay that, and I'll be talking to you live in about 30 minutes.
And, you know, buying, selling, Dave Pezzo with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. So you're very happy that a couple things are back in style.
Yeah. I noticed today in the paper. I knew this one, though. I knew mustaches were in style again, which is good. It's good because, well, you know, that's kind of, I've got one.
A lot of people are very suspicious of folks with mustaches.
They are they? Well, I thought that was okay. I thought that was the bearded look that was the bigger concern, but no. But the big thing here for is I can stop shaving my chest, apparently, according to the Idaho Statesman this morning.
And what that has to do with money and finance, we'll find out. But because there are no filters here, you were actually showing me your chest hair this morning.
Well, okay, sort of.
Kind of in a, you were dancing a little. I don't know what that was over there, though.
Well, then, okay, so I got some moves.
You
okay.
know, what's wrong with two men having to talk about mustaches and chest hair?
That's it. That's right. All because of the newspaper.
If it's in the paper, it must be true. Certainly, Dave Pezzo with us here at 580KIDO. A lot going on here today. Let's start with a story out of Florida, and we have Governor Rick Scott saying a low minimum wage is great for his state. Now you have Hillary Clinton, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, even Donald Trump wants to make the minimum wage a state issue. I think it already is a state issue. However, it's interesting that this continues to come up, and it will probably be a big deal during this election.
Kevin, jobs are, and it's a frightening time for people. We look at just this past week, right? So we have the jobs numbers. They came through very poor. They were very low. And we're also seeing technology hitting all of these workers as well. Who's going to be working in the future as we have artificial intelligence?
I'm a little worried about that myself.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. I just think people are very unnerved right now. So it's all about jobs. It's all about change. It's all about something because people are having a difficult time getting plugged in and making enough money that they feel comfortable in this world. And it's a very tough environment right now for people. And I think we're going to hear a lot about whether it's minimum wage. Everybody's grasping for an easy answer, and it's not. It's productivity growth. It's technology over time. And in fact, technology also, though, is taking our jobs away.
This is just good news here today at 580KIDO. However, the political realm of this, you have a lot of young people saying, look, we need to be paid a livable wage. Donald Trump even saying this weekend, I don't know how people make it on minimum wage. And you have, under the Obama economy, you don't have a lot of good-paying jobs. Many people have been critical of the folks coming into this state because you don't have the big-money jobs. You have the service jobs.
Right, it's true. And that is the only jobs that have been created over the past few years. It really are. Not very many. Or certainly not very many more positive jobs in the higher paying sectors compared to how many have been lost. So, Kevin, you're right, but it's as far as minimum wage goes, I always thought it was a starting place, a place to start a job. And if we want to demand $15 for everybody, we're also seeing backlash, which is I was already paying this person $15 because they did such a great job. Now the brand new person there that isn't doing a very good job, they get paid $15 right out of the chute. It's a difficult on both sides. It's going to be very difficult going forward. But also, if we continue to price people out, they'll continue to have, if you will, we're going to order our hamburgers from a laptop, and we're going to do that anyway.
Well, how does it, and we talk about the minimum wage, most people hit it from the employee side, but what about, seriously, what about the business side? You got a lot of small businesses that say, hey, man, I'd like to pay my folks more, but with Obamacare and everything else, this is all I can do.
Right, exactly. And it is difficult. There's no question about that. It is very, very difficult. Why would you need to have or to pay a certain large amount when we're just trying to, you know, go through a training period and find out if this is the right place for the right person in the right place? It's a training thing. It's a step start. It's not meant to be the defining. Everybody needs to make a great wage to start. There is a trial period, a training period, and that's what so many of these lower-end jobs are anyway.
Dave Petzo joining us as we move along here, talking about all issues finance. You know, I was telling you a little bit about the Saudi Arabian situation last week, and apparently now with one of our greatest allies, they've shaken it up again, and a lot of people are wondering about the uncertainty and the viability of the kingdom, because you've got you know, one of the crown princes getting the boot, and we've had this Fahd family in there for so long.
Right.
And Saudi Arabia, you know, they produce a lot of oil. They do a lot of stuff for us. I mean, they're a very crucial ally, but I mean, just a hiccup and we could see, we could see the return of fracking here, couldn't we?
We could, absolutely. It's not the circumstance we were in, though, back in the 1970s when we had gas lines. We certainly aren't going to have that situation here where we have become energy independent. And we have. It'll take a little bit of time to get everything up and running again, Kevin, but you're right, we could if that was the case. But in the long run, they're trying to make some serious changes over there in Saudi Arabia. Let's face it, the future of oil is pretty, I don't see it out there for many decades. Obviously, the breakthroughs in solar and everything else are huge. And we need energy now, but we're not going to need that much oil to drive the planet going forward. So I think they're trying to make a lot of changes over there by investing in other businesses. And, in fact, if you want to be a shareholder in Saudi Arabia, apparently they're going to be trying to sell off Aramco. So
5%.
Yeah.
5%, and they'll allow people – and just that 5% will allow them to own every major – fund in the world.
Yeah.
Like, I we go back to that Bloomberg Business Week article, and it's amazing. And there's a lot of pushback there, though.
Yes.
Saying, hey, we don't need the foreigners telling us what to do.
Correct. And we don't. And that's all they've done is they're selling this off so they can go ahead and diversify further, which is smart for them. But, you know, I'm not interested in playing. I'm not interested in playing in that at all. And nor do I trust any kind of dictatorship. I don't trust anyway. But I don't trust the Saudis any more than you. I think we should trust the Russians.
Or our friends the Chinese. Now, it's interesting. Alibaba continues to go kind of up and down. Have you been keeping your eye on Alibaba at all?
Yeah, a little bit. Yes, no. Yes. Yeah, because it's such a – you know, when you stop and you realize how big China is and how much more they're becoming consumer-oriented – Alibaba is, I mean, we think Amazon's big. It's hard to, you know, not imagine that Alibaba is going to get just massive.
Right. Right, indeed. Now, we always, Donald Trump again, talking about he might fire Yellen.
Yeah.
He might get rid of her. And then here you have another one. Windfall from today's Wall Street Journal. Windfall for central banks fuels political pressure. Central banks are turning record profits, bolstered by income from their bulging asset and loan portfolios, and more recently, from charging banks for making deposits. Now, one thing that that a lot of people are always worried about is when they continue to refinance their home loans, and a lot of people are getting like 2%, 2.5%, that they're worried about what happened last time.
Right.
2008, 2009. The banks boom, implode, and then all of a sudden people call in the loans.
Right. Well, they didn't just call them in. People weren't making their payments. So, you know.
I know, details and facts. That's why that's why you're here, yes.
But you're right. And people are worried about that. But we always do that, Kevin. We look at the very last crisis, and it was a big crisis. And then we basically lay that crisis over top of everything else. We're not even close to that. The requirements to get loans are still extremely high. And, yes, there's a few of those that are low percentage. And, yes, this administration's calling for more low down payment lending. But there's a huge pushback to that. And so their call for this has been met tone deaf in D.C. So nobody's listening to this administration push on those lower requirement loans. So that part's good. I just don't see most crises are not the same as the last one.
Indeed. But again, you still have the scars of that. And that's why you still have probably at least 80% of the folks not invested in the markets.
Well, it's true, Kevin. You're right. And it's unfortunate that people don't understand the volatility and they can't stand it. Why the feeling is because something goes down in price, it's going to get worse. It's a crazy thing when you think about it. People don't go to the store and say, you know, here's a suit sitting on sale, and you go get a suit, you get your pants, you get all this stuff, and then you walk up to the cashier and say, you know, next time you mark this price up, call me and I'll come and pick it up. Nobody does that. But when it comes to stocks or great businesses, I hate calling them stocks because it's like, oh, these are little pieces of paper. You own a piece of a business. And when it comes to having a piece of a business that goes on sale, a super high quality company goes on sale and everybody runs. And it's the most amazing, bizarre thing that there is on the planet, in my mind, you know, because the history is just astounding for the rates of return that stocks offer. And yet people don't ever want, they proclaim they want to buy low and sell high, but they never do.
Now, a fastball for Dave Pezzo, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial, host of Money Matters, 8 to 10 on Saturdays here at 580 KIDO. And this is something that we've covered almost as much as the Chinese, the housing markets, and everything else. But, again, from this week's Bloomberg Businessweek magazine, rising profits don't lift workers' boats. We have record profits going on, and yet the workers are getting the shaft.
They are.
I'm calling Bernie.
That's you dial in Bernie. That's it. And that's part of it. And it is giving people all of these concerns. But, Kevin, it's the profits that these companies are operating with are, in fact, global in most cases. And unfortunately, it's been from some cost cutting, meaning less jobs. We're not expanding as much as we did in the past. And that's a question of confidence. So I think if we can have a little more confidence, I think these companies would expand more. And further, Kevin, companies like Apple have all this money that is outside of the country. There's like over $2 trillion trapped overseas because this administration will not do some kind of a tax holiday, a reduction, something that would get this $2 trillion back. And that's the craziness. We, you know, by the way, we are the only nation in the world that taxes again when the money comes back to their country. This is I can't believe I'm saying this, but America is becoming terribly irresponsible towards business, very anti-business.
All right, more coming up with our great friend Dave Pezzo next. If you have a call, now don't call at the bottom of the hour. Now is the time to call so you can have a back and forth with Dave Pezzo as opposed to Kevin Miller going, oh, I'm sorry, we're out of time. Nobody likes that. So 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You're listening to 580-KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO.
My name is Bobby. I'm a veteran and lost my leg to a roadside bomb. My victory was going from a wheelchair to becoming a weightlifting champion.
I'm Sam. I'm a veteran. My victory was finding a career that I could be proud of.
At DAV, we're on a mission, helping veterans of all generations get the benefits they've earned.
I'm Cece. My victory was finishing my education.
When America's veterans win, we all win. Help us support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO.
And we roll. Kevin Miller in the morning on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO. Dave Pezzo with us. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So, you got some bad news, huh?
Well, for Obamacare, yes.
Really?
Actually, all of us.
Well, why don't you have a sip of your coffee there, and I'll let everybody know that you can always catch Dave Saturdays, 8 to 10, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial, Pezzo on Facebook, Pezzo on Twitter, and let's have some bad news.
The insurers are leaving in droves. United Healthcare, which is the largest health insurer on the exchanges, is losing hundreds of millions of dollars and said we're done. And they're leaving all but a couple of states. Leaving. They don't even want to play. The ones that are trying to stay and play are raising premiums 25% and more. Right here next to us in Oregon, the largest insurer on the exchange is asking for a 30% increase in premiums. So I guess, now I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist here, but...
No, you're right at home.
Yes. So I am going to say they're going to get exactly what they have actually been hoping for, and that's not to have these exchanges, but have a single payer, because they're going to drive all of these other companies out with the regulations, and now you'll only have one. It'll be the government. So de facto, rather than coming in and saying, yeah, we want to do a single payer plan, they don't even have to. They'll just sit back with all the regulations and watch them all go out of business, and we'll end up with a single payer plan. And we'll all come running back and we'll go, thank you, government. Thank you for taking care of us, because nobody else will. Those bad insurance companies are all leaving.
Let's go to the phones. Our great friend Steve Ackerman is with us here at 580KIDO. He would like to talk to Dave Petso. And this is the battle of the economists here. And thankfully, I'm unarmed when it comes to the intellect of both gentlemen. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Good, good. Thanks.
Hey, Dave, I got a quick question. What is your take on IPOs? Because, you know, there's been a lot of talk about that we're really not seeing the IPOs, you know, the IPO launch trend is not there. Do you think, I don't know, number one, do you agree with that? And number two, what's your kind of, you just think it's maybe investment money is a little bit more cautious, maybe it's going through a little bit of a market cycle, or do you think there's something more to it?
There's a couple different aspects. It's a great question. First of all, there are still IPOs, as you know. There's still a few, but you're right.
Yeah.
At this part of the cycle, you would expect more, and there really have not been. Now, number one, when you start off the year like we did, that rocky, that's a terrible environment to try to launch into. So the last time we had really a market that people were really comfortable with was, say, the middle of last year as we started to recover in the fall from the summer lows. And then, of course, that ended poorly. But at the same time, we had a little bit of a window there. We saw some launches. Now, back to your fundamental question, though, is this a trend? I think it is going to be partially a trend, but also part of that trend is that these companies are staying private longer. You know, think Uber and others that really in the past, if we were talking certainly of the dot-com days where you tried to get it out and launched as quickly as possible, you would see those companies do that. But now they have plenty of funding privately, and so they can stay private, and they can think longer term that way. They don't think about quarterly numbers, and they also, excuse me, they don't think about profits. Wall Street, once you get to there, you must start making profits soon. Or you better, you know, you'll get a little bit of a window there if it's a hot product. But you have to start turning profits. These companies don't want to. They want to grow out their base. Again, think Facebook. They're not going to make money. They're not going to make money. They're not going to make money. You remember how the IPO was hyped, and then suddenly we're not going to make money in social media, and it goes down. They have obviously solved that problem big time. But at the time, that was what people pointed to. They need to start making money, and instead of building out their view, viewership, if you will. That's what you have when you're in a private market. You can keep spending money. You can even spend all of your cash reserves because you are following a direction. Get to Wall Street, you can't.
That's interesting, and I appreciate that, because I tell you, I've been looking kind of in two areas, and I'm not going to ask about a particular company, but I've been looking at healthcare management generally. But then the other is pet care, care for animals. Mm-hmm. And I've been seeing, you know, a lot of ideas, but I haven't seen the publicly traded, you know, I haven't seen the publicly traded companies so much. I've been seeing more on the private side. So that's explaining why that's occurring. They're trying to build up the vision, I guess, huh, the business model.
Yeah.
Prove it.
Well, yeah, think about it from the standpoint of if I need to have, you know, I don't know, let's say 6 million subscribers, I got to spend, you know, before we turn a profit. I don't want to try to stop marketing and getting to that number. So I'm going to spend and lose and spend and lose and spend and lose to try to hit that number, not try to take it to an IPO and then start knocking down quarterly earnings numbers so that Wall Street's satisfied.
Right. That makes sense.
Right. But on the other hand, you know, you take a look at Amazon. It took them years to make any money.
Now, Amazon's a little, and they're not, yeah. But what they do is they can, first of all, Bezos is from Wall Street, so he's able to speak that language, and he's able to actually
like
dial it in.
He's like you.
Yes, I'm a lot like him.
All
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
When it comes
yeah.
to our world,
I do
you
rockets
are...
and things like that with my spare time.
Apparently.
Yeah. So, but you know, you think about it, Amazon is different, Kevin. You're right, though. That's a great analogy, though. They're not making money because they're choosing to plow all of theirs back into But they can also take their model and simply say, look, if we spend a little less here, this is how much would drop to the bottom line. And the analysts can go, you're right, that's cool, we're fine. And as long as they are cash flow positive, which they are, then and self-funding their growth, then everybody's happy. If they're going into debt for it, that's going to be an issue. And also, Amazon is an amazing company. Therefore, they get a pass that most companies won't.
Hey, let me dovetail on Steve Ackerman's question here at 580KIDO. You know, in the old days, you know, you get in on the ground floor with an IPO and, hey, you buy it at a certain thing and it's good to go. Is that still the same or is it a ripoff these days?
To do what now?
Well, you know, somebody's got an IPO. Hey, let's go buy it and let's get it on the ground floor. I mean, you know, we go back to Facebook, but you stay with it, it's fine. However, you know, the idea of are the stocks overinflated these days?
Now, this is kind of a quiet secret, though, for you. I mean, seriously, these are, number one, you're still going to get hot IPOs. Let's say, think Candy Crush or whatever that company was.
You were very high on Candy Crush.
I was very high on Candy Crush. Shorting it, I was high on shorting Candy Crush. But again, I'm not a gamer, so I don't quite get those things. But what I'm trying to say is you do get some hyped areas. There's no question about that. That can come if the market gets overheated. But we're sure not seeing that. And last year, 2015, was one of the worst performing IPO markets, if not the worst IPO markets out there. These companies did terribly, Kevin.
Steve Ackerman, we appreciate it. Anything else you want to jump in here before we get to traffic?
No, not at all. I just going to agree with what you said, Kevin, because that's always been kind of my thinking, and it seems different. So thank you very much, guys.
Steve, Thanks. Take care.
You too. Thanks.
You better watch out for him. He's smart.
Okay. Well,
he's smart.
I like smart people.
All right. You thought it was going to be Terry from State College, Pennsylvania, didn't you?
I didn't know who it was. You've got the board over there. It's all a mystery.
That's the way
this
we like
thing,
it.
I walk in here and I just don't know what's going to happen.
Keep you guessing.
Mm-hmm.
And we move along here. Dave Petzo, anything else you'd like to share with us?
No. I'm happy. It was not a good news week, Kevin. Jobs slow. The insurers backing out of the exchanges. Not good. And here's the tough part. It's productivity down. We were kind of touched on this earlier, but productivity gains were minus. That's very unusual.
Not at the Petzo Center.
That's right. But it's very important. It's one of those things that slowly erodes in a society if you don't become more productive. But it really does show up in the long run in our lifestyle. And we can't grow if we don't have productivity gains. So we are now in our seventh year of barely growing over 1%, and we actually shrunk this last quarter. So not good.
Dave Petzo, this weekend, 8 to 10, Saturday mornings, Money Matters. Anytime, Dave Petzo on Facebook, Petzo Center, Petzo Financial. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're listening to 580KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station.
Well, I finally improved my credit score.
What? The band is about to be discovered. Rock gods don't need to worry about credit scores. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, make ridiculous on-tour requests, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
Yeah, I'm not banking my retirement on a band that's never left your garage.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580 KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Yes, we're back live, and thank you for joining us. You know, again, I have had thumbs up. People like the interview with Kevin on Mondays being replayed on Saturdays. If you have any comments or questions, please, we'd love to hear from you. 580-5436, or you can always shoot an email over. It's dave@petzofinancial, P-E-T-S-O, not the sauce, petzofinancial.net. And, of course, during the week, we've got our website. There's podcasts there, and we'd love to hear from you as well. And I've got a couple of emails that came in this week. We'll share later in today's program. But as we always do, we always favor phone calls at 580-KIDO. So let's go to David. David, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I won't put my money in Amazon, even though they may be a good investment for growth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why. It's because of the way they treat people on the bottom end of the scale like myself. My direct experience listing on Amazon, I can't even find my listing. And they say, oh, it's listed. I pull up the exact listing number, and I still can't get it. So I'm putting a plug in here for eBay. They may not be the most profitable company, but when you list something on it, you can find it and you can sell it.
Mm-hmm. So you're apparently, you mean you're a vendor, but you can't find your stuff.
No, I'm not a vendor. Just, you know, it's like I have something sitting around the house and I want to sell it. You know, I've tried listing things on eBay, and it goes up for sale, and I can sell it quickly. On Amazon, they won't even give you, space on their website. I mean, they say it's there, but you can't pull it up.
I wasn't even aware that they had an auction site, Amazon.
Well, it's not an auction site, but just posting something on there. You know, if you have like a onesie-twosie thing, they have an application you can actually go in and file and sell something on there.
Like your
mom and pop retailer.
Like eBay or what is it, Craigslist, things like that, right?
Yeah, things like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so they give preferential treatment to the big boys that are the big box stores. And somebody that's on the bottom scale, they're not going to give any visibility to your product or whatever it is you're trying to sell.
Yeah, that would be my expectation, honestly. I wouldn't expect a one-off that I would be able to find it compared to if I'm shopping for a pair of Levi's or I'm, you know what I'm saying, where there's endless supply, right?
Yeah.
Endless sales for them.
Well, even though what I had was brand new, I listed it for half of what the retail price was. They weren't making it available to any of the public that would try and purchase something at a discount, which somebody does when they try to go to Craigslist. They look for a bargain. And even Google, some of these large corporations, they're funneling all their web information to the big boys, because that's who's paying their bill.
Absolutely. Again, you just hit it though. They're the ones paying the bill. I think you're always going to be better off with in a one-off situation going with something that matches it. I didn't even know Amazon kind of resold stuff for people. I thought it was all from the vendor, so to speak.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That was a couple years ago, and I've noticed in the last year or so, even when you try to search something on Google. You used to be able to pull up exactly what you're looking for. And now I'm finding on Google you get redirected to some other website or something. Even if you enter in the exact name, spelling, and everything, you get redirected to one of their sub-websites or one of their vendors.
Yeah, you always have to be careful. I did, at one time I had I was trying to book an airline ticket, I think it was, and then I clicked on... Yeah, I was like, type in, you know, American Airlines or whatever it was, right? So I type it in, and then I see American Airlines or something, and I just click on it, and it was not American Airlines. Now, I could book the ticket, and I did, but what a pain to try to get my seat assignments, everything. So, again, as a warning for everybody, be sure you're actually on the official website, because it does sometimes pop up there very high. Because Google, obviously, that's what they're in business to do.
Google got their hands slapped over in Europe for doing that, for giving these other companies preferential treatment. And, it's just another one of those scenarios where the cards are stacked against the guy on the bottom end of the totem pole.
Well, they always are, though. I'm not sure that I would have any expectation that an Amazon, a Google, or anyone else, if I'm trying to sell a driver that I'm not using anymore, one driver, that I should have any kind of space at all. I'm shocked that there is any. When you're talking about a site like Amazon that does billions and billions of dollars every week.
Yeah, let me give you another example of Google. It used to be that if you pulled something up on Craigslist and then immediately went to Google, you could Google it, and it would pull that up, like somebody selling something really cheap. It would actually pull up the Craigslist ad, but they don't even do that anymore because they want you to go to the big boys box store and purchase it from them.
Right. Well, if they're not, if it, Well, of course they do. Again, I'm not sure
what. It wasn't that way 2 years ago.
Well, then my opinion would be they've evolved. It's the same as like Facebook. The, you know, 2 years ago they didn't sell anything. They were just looking for eyeballs, right?
The internet is no longer an open and free system.
Well, it's open and free. It's just that there are the, if we expect it to exist, people are going to have for-profit methods and revenue. Or it won't exist. It isn't just there for people. I mean, there's going to be if we want somebody to spend billions of dollars to put together a system. No, probably more like $1 trillion for what Amazon's done and figured out a network of that. And I'm not a huge fan of Amazon. I'm just saying I think they're a big box destroyer is what they really are. But at the same time, we all love it and we all use it. But we expect them to do what? Not work for a profit, and when Google to be the Library of Congress of the world, and to continue to evolve and make it better and easier, then why? But we aren't going to let them make money. That's not going to happen. It's never happened in the history of the world, and it isn't going to happen now.
Yeah. Well, people that are on the bottom of the scale like to get a foot up every now and then too. But okay. I pulled a fast one on Amazon at one time because they used to hang out these little cheap onesie twosie things. So I'll give you an example for the feet on my I've got an antique record player. So in order to find these feet that would fit on there, they put out like a little teaser for like $1.22 each. And then once you get that one, you have to pay, I think it's $4.80 or $10 a piece for the other remaining feet. So I tricked them by opening four separate windows and placing the order for $1.22 on all four of them.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, they've updated their software to where they've wised up. You can only get that one. You can't open four windows and get all four of them at the same price.
Right, right, right. Well, they're going to figure it out. David, thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good day. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It is Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. With Dave Petso on Idaho's talk station, 580 KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO is our number. Hey, love to hear from you. In our education segment, beginning of the second hour, like we like to do, right? I'm going to talk about this. I had a opportunity this past week to speak to the Idaho Business League. It's this group of community leaders and, you know, business people. And it was just about the negativity of the media, right? That's what I was supposed to talk about. But always when you think about those things, and I talk about them a lot, so it wasn't a lot of new stuff for me. But it kind of churns up a lot of the old data and stuff. And I want to talk a little bit about this. Why is it we make this so hard? How is it we take something as simple and easy as investing has become, and we've twisted it and manipulated it and turned it into something that's really hard to understand, hard to play the game, if you will, hard to stay in the game. So I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to take a little bit of what we talked about here this past week, but talk about why is it this is so hard? Why are we doing that? Does it make any sense? Our number here is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. In putting together my asset allocation, should I consider the subaccounts in a variable annuity that pays me $500 a month regardless of the performance? I paid $150,000 for it a year ago. The investments are only worth $135,000. But as I mentioned, it pays me 4% of the original, $150,000, and my heirs get the money later. I've been adding this $500 to our other monthly income, and so it's a $500 a month income for life. The question really is this. With $500 income for life, should I be counting in my overall asset allocation, right? Should I count overall what the sub-accounts are in the annuity? Okay, so a lot of big words there, I know. Should I consider the annuity sub-account investments in the overall asset allocation? Phil, thanks for the email. And the first part, of course, I read, but I want to try to – let's make sure everybody can follow along because this is an interesting question to me. It really is. As we're considering this asset, and let's pretend that let's use really easy numbers. So you put $150,000 in it. Let's say it's worth exactly that, okay? And you have $150,000 in of other assets outside of pensions, just to make things really easy. So the question becomes: let's say you have one third of this invested in U.S. stocks, right? Growth stocks, right? Is that going to be, should I take that one-third and count it with the other $150,000 outside the variable annuity? And the answer to me, in short, is no, not at all. It's not the same thing at all. Not at all. And I'll explain that in a moment. So as we're looking at this overall asset allocation, there's a number of things that come back into play. What are we trying to do overall? And so you have taken and said, I want to have a steady stream of income off of this piece here. Okay? And I'm going to circle back to this as well because I think this is a fundamental long-term problem for you if we don't grow it. Okay? So you better be growing those other assets, right? Now, the reason I say it doesn't matter to me if this is in emerging market stocks or it's in small-cap tech, doesn't make any difference because at this point, you said you put in 150. Your income is based on 150. You're getting 4% on the 150. The account value is only 135. If you want to go ahead and try to be real aggressive on that 135, go ahead. But you've got a massive amount of fees built into this. I don't think you have any chance of this account growing past or much past the 150. Every single market downturn or even a flat market is so destructive to your $135,000. So let's say, you know, again, you're taking 4% out, but you're not taking 4. So the 4 has all of these guarantees of the annuity, right? You're going to have this $150,000 is going to be given to your heirs, okay? So that's a, like a life insurance policy built in. That's super expensive. What is it? Like probably 1% a year, okay? Built in. The income guarantee is 1.5% built in. You also have the costs of the management of the funds. You have zero chance of this actually growing. Zero. There's no chance of this growing. It might grow in a year or two, but it'll be doing exactly what it's doing from 150 to 135 and depleting. Plus, you're taking out 4% a year. So if any year the market's flat or down, you are taking out plus all of the cost. In other words, this asset is absolutely only going to be worth the 150 when you're dead. It's absolutely only going to be worth the $500 per month. Period. Period. There's no chance of this doing any better than that. None. So as far as the asset allocation, it's a fixed asset. I don't care what you put it into. It won't matter. Doesn't matter. The only money that matters now is the allocation outside of this. So I would classify this totally as a fixed asset. It's totally locked up. I wouldn't even look at the statements. It's done. It's all done. You've turned it into income for life. It absolutely doesn't matter. The account value will go to zero. Absolutely, certainly, it will. There's nothing more to it. You now have a 4% no cost of living adjustment investment for life. So basically, what you have net of inflation for our lives is you're going to make 1%. That's what you're going to make. Now, it's done. But I point that out to say this is a fixed income investment, period. fixed. So, Phil, what I would do is I'd say it's a great question. So what assets are included? And as I, if you will allow me, I want to kind of evolve that question into a further discussion, and that would be if you had a pension plan for people that are retiring under, say, PERSI or a federal government program. That pension is a huge fixed investment. So oftentimes people get stuck on, I've got this $250,000 401k, I'm really worried about market fluctuations, whatever, when they really don't fully understand that the $1 million pension that they have, because it would take way more than $1 million to provide that $3,000 a month or whatever the number is that they're getting, right? And plus, Social Security is a totally fixed one. So they're saying, I'm really worried about $150,000 or $250,000 investment fluctuating when I have $1 million, maybe $2 million worth of assets in a fixed account. And further, many times those pensions are not inflation adjusted. So again, be very cautious how you're supposedly measuring out your asset allocation in pensions, Social Security, the whole bit. That's why, Phil, I love your question. It really brings in how do we measure all of our assets in retirement? It's a big deal. It's a very, very big deal. Okay? So thank you for that. And again, this is the bottom line problem for tying up money. What looks like a 4% return, is it 4% real return? And when we talk about people say, hey, and you know, we look at the Monte Carlo simulations, we look at all of those things for how much retirement income we can draw from our accounts. And we look at, oh, the 4% rule, you can take 4%, look at this, but I'm guaranteed, see, I got this 4%. No, you don't. The 4% is not cost of living adjusted. The Monte Carlo simulations, of course, are inflation adjusted. The numbers are being run that are 4% for life plus a 3% cost of living increase. That's how that works. Be really super careful. And this brings us also back to the idea of starting Social Security too soon. And here in a few minutes, we're going to go to news. And when I come back, I want to talk about how much abundance there is. Yeah, I know, you've heard that before. But think about this. With long life expectancies, how things are, and when we think about how heated everything is in this political campaign, how negative everything is, and how that rolls into our life, and how we turn this into a very difficult, very tense, we ruin the ease and the beauty of investing. A lot of angst with this. We'll be back after Fox News for the second hour. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number. Dave@petzofinancial.net is our email address. These, of course, are my opinions and my opinions only. And I may talk about a product. I may say something about, like we did with the question here from Phil, his email question regarding taking an income on an annuity for life and breaking it apart and talking about the costs. It certainly doesn't mean you should or should not have that product. As you well know, I think that annuities are vastly oversold. 99% of them are oversold. That people go to seminars to theoretically learn about them. You know, getting information, that's all. Yeah, and a free meal, of course. A one-sided presentation, pitch. But seriously, annuities have been used for years if they are used as a small part. If they're free to grow, most are not. Free meaning if you win, you can really win. Not encumbered by, as equity index annuities do, caps. So they can't win. As we look at all those and we talk about maybe, as we're going to hear for a moment, and Terry, if you'll just hang tough with me, I'd love to answer your question on annuities. I will be happy to talk with you about that. But I want to talk about something sitting here pretty heavy in my soul, if you will. I really want to share with you because it is something that and we do it all the time. We talk about it all the time. But it's this whole process of, if you will, from my perspective, thinking about this, why do we make this so hard? Why do we feel like everything is so bad when it's not? When it's not. And why do we argue about whether we ought to buy gold or not, whether the end is coming or not? And as we get more and more into this election, and people start pointing fingers because their guy or gal isn't winning in the polls, and how it's all going to end. Listen, folks, from a political perspective, it can't be worse than what we've got. This is the most anti-business president ever. Makes Jimmy Carter look like he's a right-wing, free business guy. Not one person in the White House, not one, has any business background. For 8 years, they won't consult with anybody because they're the smartest people on the planet. They write the rules the way they want. They don't care what the rest of the people want. We're going to have Obamacare, and here's what we're going to do, no matter whether it's legal or not, because we're smarter than everybody else, and it's the greater good, period. End of story. We do not have to go through the difficulty of legislation when we are the smartest people. That's where we are. And the market keeps going higher. Business keeps getting done. We're in the highest tax country corporate-wise, in the world. We're pissed that our companies are leaving. Really? That's a surprise. You know, an amoeba, if you poke it, it's going to move. If it's hot, it probably tries to find somewhere else to be. An amoeba. You don't think businesses are going to go where they're treated better? They're supposed to. They're supposed to. But yet we've developed this some kind of a the internet's free and I shouldn't pay for anything. I go to the airport and I'm pissed I have a line. So what do? I paid money. I paid money, filled out a form so I could get TSA pre. So I buy a shorter line. I buy more convenience. And if I fly a lot, here's the weird thing. You know what they do? They let me board the plane a little early. Give me a little bit extra room. I earned that. I earned the VIP status on a particular airline. Only one. Don't travel the world, but I get to have a free bag on Alaska because I go to Seattle all the time to see my grandbaby. But I don't get mad when I get on an American Airlines and there's somebody in first class and I walk by. Why should I? They got to put their rear ends on these planes forever. This whole idea of entitlement and freedom and it's rigged against the little guy is this whole activity that we play that leads us to do this. We make it hard. We make investing super hard. And it's really kind of easy. Now, I think about this, and I have to put this in this example, because, gosh, Warren Buffett sometimes has some really good examples, okay? And so he's talking about gold. It was 2012. Gold was a little bit higher, because we're going to go through this now. What's the best performing asset class this year? Gold. Bingo, boom. I mean, it's probably copper or zinc or something. But, you know, basically it's precious metals doing better than the overall market.
So we should ring a bell, we should run around in circles and wonder if we should get on the gold train. Why? And so we just basically, why? Because our whole thought process, our whole horizon is now. I mean, we sit there and we go, wow, you know, like people like Kramer, you know, the king of what's happening right this second. I'm bull. I'm a bear. I'm a bull. I'm a bear. I'm a bull. Bye, 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 bye. Sell, sell, sell. And the trend is if you go buy gold or oil's up, we got to do this. I mean, it's just absolutely psychotic. And we plug into this noise and wonder why we feel angst. Why we're not sure of our plan. Why is our plan good? Is our plan feasible? I don't know anymore, you know? I don't know. And so we go through this incredible, let's make it hard on ourselves. So my objective is a growing stream of income faster than the rate of inflation all the days of my life, no matter how long I live. Okay, that's fairly simple. But I'm really afraid, so I'm going to buy a pretty brick. Fit into that. I mean, we can talk about it's a diversification. It's a store of wealth. It's a currency. It's a whatever. It does not generate anything. It is not productive at all. So all the gold in the world, imagine this. To me, it's very simplistic. And it is. It's 170 metric tons of gold. It's a lot. But you know what that looks like? It's 68 feet on each side a cube. All right? What does that look like? It fits inside a baseball diamond. Up and down. Okay? You see, you can get that picture. It's a pretty good picture. The value of that in 2012, it's not as much now, but we've mined more gold. But it's $9.6 trillion at $1,750 per ounce. We're at $1,250 or whatever it is now. So, yeah, it's lower. But let's call that pile A. Can we just for numbers, like, call it 9 trillion, okay? Just we've mined a little more, prices have fallen a little bit, so let's call it $9 trillion. For that, that's pile A. So as an investor, this is what you decide. I want pile A, the pretty brick, the big cube. It won't produce anything, but that's what I want. That's pile A. Pile B would be, for the same value, all 400 million acres of U.S. cropland. All of it. By the way, it produces $200 billion annually. Plus, I'm sorry, I can't spend it all on the farm. We want to diversify. We're going to buy 16 ExxonMobils. 16 of them. It was at that time before oil prices collapsed, the most profitable company in the world. 16 of them. By the way, they were producing at that time $40 billion annually. I think it's around $35 billion now. Not a lot different, but a little bit less. So we've got all the farms producing $200 billion a year. We've got 16 ExxonMobils each producing more than $30 billion annually. And then I'm going to put a trillion in my pocket for walking around money. Why? Well, why feel poor, right? You know, so that you just have that in your pocket. What investor would pick a brick over all the revenue over here? Who? Why? Seriously? Who would? But this is the argument we make all the time. What asset? What's going to do well? I want to continue this discussion because I don't understand. And I would like people's input. I don't know why. Why we are so fascinated with, instead of our 20 or 30 or our lifelong plan, I'm going to game this. I mean, when do we just stop and go, this is stupid? My gosh, I'm stupid. I sit around and I'm like, you know, wondering or fussing because of the inevitable decline of the great businesses of the world that occasionally go down in value. It's incredible to me that we feel that we're going to take in more and more and more negative data points that we really don't fully understand or comprehend. But that's going to somehow lead us closer to good investing. Of course it won't. And so through this whole thing, we make it even harder on ourselves by thinking we're being smarter and smarter and smarter. In my opinion, I'm not sure. I really am meaning I'd like to hear from you. Why do we do this to ourselves? Why? Well, do you think I should get one of those annuities? No. Do you think I should buy some gold? No. Do you think I should, be looking at... No, I don't. I think you should buy the quality corporations, the great corporations of the world that pay rising streams of income, have rising streams of cash flow, have figured out how to do business. Well, what about the election? Have figured out how to do business in communist countries, in dictatorships, socialism, and be profitable and productive. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Let's go to Terry if he's still hanging with me. Terry, are you there?
Yes. I just had to turn off my radio.
Oh, okay. Great.
Thank you. I've listened to you and Kevin Miller for years and tried to listen to you on Saturday. But I missed a couple of things to give you kind of a background on myself. I got a brain tumor. There was a hostile takeover of my international corporation. I was doing basic financial planning in a fraternal that no longer exists. They have money, but they don't market anymore. And I had to have the best attorney here in town, Mark Manweiler, go get my renewals. And then I was faced with this money and where to put it. And then I heard this guy, it comes on 11 o'clock on Saturdays after you.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about sending out this free brochure about annuities and everything else. And he insisted on having an appointment. Asked me, I thought it was rather rude, just how much money I had to invest, which was 700 and some thousand at that time. And I never got the appointment because he never sent the, I wouldn't agree to an appointment until he sent that information out so I could do my due diligence on it. And so I got nothing out of there, and he didn't bother to follow up, and I never got the information. Is he honest?
Let me, I have to be careful here, of course. I have
through to, over, I don't want you to get in litigation.
Right. Terry, we're kind of backed up on a break here, too, but I'll tell you this. I like to, you know what, Terry, let me try to answer this question on the other side of the break because I'm going to cut it short. I can't go into an entire, I'm asked this question all the time. How can somebody say they get stock market returns without stock market risk? Well, they don't carry a securities license. If you have an insurance license only, apparently the state of Idaho doesn't care what you say. And so they get away with saying that because, listen, do you really think that there is a way to get stock market returns without any risk? Does that sound or make sense to you? Why would we just not stop? And Goldman Sachs puts all their money in it. All the hedge funds go there. Warren Buffett says, I'm done. I get market returns with no risk. Why wouldn't I do that? Oh, God. I'm done. And all my money would go there. All my client money would go there instead of none of it goes there.
I picked up that from you before, but I got a couple other questions. Can I talk to you right after the break?
You bet. Hang on, and we'll discuss it after the break. Okay, I got to go. So let's go with 580-5436. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. It's with Dave Petzo on Idaho's talk station, 580 KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. You know, I saw this Netflix. You can't watch the whole thing. It's like, have you seen that? Unbelievable. Is this the coolest guy in the universe? Isn't he? Yeah. By the way, I'm talking to Ronaldo over here, and you're all wondering, what the heck am I talking about here? There is a special on Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. It's like 4 hours long. I obviously couldn't watch the whole thing last night, but I just plugged it in. I started, you know, puttering around and doing stuff, and it was like, pretty soon I'm just sitting there riveted. Obviously it's my life. I grew up with this music and Tom Petty and everything. But man, is this guy unbelievable? What a songwriter! Anyway, if you get a chance to watch it, especially if you're like, you know, 50 something like me, this guy is, and he is, he's super cool. There's no question about that. And listening to these musicians talk about what a talent it's. Anyway, I thought it was incredible. And that just reminded me. Enough of that. You're not here for my Tom Petty Admiration Society. Let's go back to Terry. We're talking annuities. Terry, you had a couple more questions for me.
Yes. I worked with a guy for 35 years, and he ended up becoming a broker. And he put me into an annuity that's one of those that locks in at the highest rate, and then for a year you get that income. It's went up about $200 a month. I just wanted your opinion. Unfortunately, I didn't go to you. I knew about you, but I knew Joe Murray a long time. He said that with my income and my health, having a brain tumor and everything else, he said it would be safer. It's a little more expensive, but when the market goes down, I'm still locked in at the rate that is the highest rate to pay that income on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, Terry, that part's true. That is true. There are some places for it. Like I said, it's annuities are have a place, a very small one, and I think a shrinking one now. Okay. But it's not that they're without some benefits. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's just that when people come on and are saying, I can have stock market returns with no risk, I we're done talking. I mean, we're done because I already know that that's not true, period.
This guy scared me to death, and he wouldn't send me the information unless he got an appointment, and was very, very pushy about it, and...
Well, there's no point in being aggressive like that and making people uncomfortable. I don't understand why people do that. They're bullies is what they are.
And but, what kind of backed me off is with your comment about people just have an insurance license, and I didn't know if you were talking about him or anybody else. Or
well, anybody that says that has to, because if you have a securities license or you're a certified financial planner, or you're an RIA, registered investment advisor, you're governed by actually laws that require you to tell the truth, and you have full disclosure. So I know the insurance license people say, well, no, we have to tell the truth. No, you don't have to have full disclosure. You clearly don't, because you would have to then disclose all the fees and the commissions and the cost, and all of them end up saying stuff like, oh, you don't have to worry about that. The commission's paid by the insurance company. Yeah, because it's funneled from you through them. They take a cut, and then they pay off an insurance agent. All of those things, all the costs, everything have to be disclosed. All of the risks, all the fact that it's tied up for X number of years, if you carry those licenses. In other words, I could never tell you that you could have stock market returns without stock market risk, because you can't. Common sense tells you that. Your grandmother, who never got through junior high and does not know anything about finances, couldn't balance a checkbook. She knows that. She knows that.
That's the SEC?
No, it's all security laws. FINRA, SEC, the state, the SEC who the certified financial planners. You'll lose your license. You have to have disclosure. Of course you do. It's common sense. It's just that the insurance laws are so lax right now. And I know they're working on it. And I know we've got a new insurance department head, but it is come on, let's just be normal out here and require reasonable disclosure. And because of that, we end up with the Department of Labor. Now you really got me going. Department of Labor has now decided that they're going to get into our life because you know what? We can't govern ourselves. We allow people to just say whatever they want, to take 10, 15, 20% commissions. I actually saw one 20%, but that's okay. You don't have to pay that. That's all going to work out fine. It doesn't work out fine. And the people that get hit the hardest are the senior citizens, and their money gets tied up. And we have to deal in a world where people are scared. They are fearful. And so we prey upon that fear. It is normal to be fearful. That's how we're wired. But this is, anyway, you got me all wound up.
I was very fearful. I had conflict of interest, and mine was very complicated. I had to hire Mark Manweiler to get my renewals. They were going to cancel them out, and he got those back.
Yep.
And when I went in with Joe Murray on this annuity. Do you think it's a bad thing for somebody in my health to have that?
I don't know what you're already in it. It sounds like you're probably trapped. I would have to say you need to have it evaluated what you should do going forward. That's not a question of your health. It's a question of, your health has nothing to do with a product that is traps you. And that has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with age. There's plenty of things. So what else do I do? You lower the risk on your portfolio, but to trap people in products and to have high commissions so they never can work, that's not a solution. That's just selling fear. And that's what annuity seminars do. And that's what annuity radio programs do. They sell that. I'm not saying you can't use these products, but there are so few of them that actually are straightforward enough to even remotely understand what's going on or that can actually work. And so I'm actually, in this case, glad the Department of Labor is cracking down. Because we won't. We as an industry, we won't. We don't care if senior citizens get ripped off. We just absolutely don't care. Terry, I have to go. I'm so sorry. But we're up against a Fox News break. And love you to call back sometime. And if you need any other help, you're more than welcome to give us a call during the week. And we can certainly steer you to some good resources. Okay?
Could it be possible to have you come in and make an appointment to evaluate where I'm at?
Certainly, of course. Happy to. Don't know if there's anything you could do, but we're happy to make sure that if there is, that you would at least know. Okay?
Oh, thank you so very much. You're very kind and very honest, and I picked that up through the years from you and having Kevin Miller having you on. I know he respects you, and it's been a pleasure that you took my phone call, and I thank you for your candor and your cerebralness.
Cerebralness. I like that word. That's good. Terry, thank you for the compliments. I really appreciate it, and I thank you for listening. You have a wonderful day. Take care.
You have a wonderful life.
Thank you. You do. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Jim, if you're still hanging tough, buddy, we'll grab you on the other side, but I've got Fox News coming up right now.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, that's our number here. And dave@petsofinancial.net is our email address. Well, let's go to the phones. Jim, you've been holding for a really long time.
Dave, my man, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Good.
You poor thing, you seem so perplexed as to why people might invest in gold or have annuities or put money under the mattress.
Well, I shall enlighten you. It is human nature. Now, people are always trying to change human nature. Now, I came across a little bit of philosophy a while back. It's in a Rodgers and Hammerstein song from Sound of Music. Mm-hmm. And part of it goes thusly. There's no way to stop it. No, there's no way to stop it. No, you can't stop it, even if you try. So I'm not going to worry. No, I'm not going to worry, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
And so, it's human nature. And, you know, me personally, it's kind of like I'm a contrarian. And the more you rail against something, the more I wonder why you're railing against it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of like somebody that is religious, right? And they want to save your soul. And I'm wondering, why should they really care about my soul? You know, just my own thoughts and feelings.
Well, I'm not going to get into the religious side because it's a bigger picture than that. But I understand what you're saying. But you know what? I feel like the reason I'm here is to educate. I have angst about trying to figure out how to communicate to people that doing something that isn't going to work well for them is a bad idea.
I wonder what your success rate would be. You know, how many people are actually convinced, and not just what you're saying, but, you know, when anybody has an opinion, mm-hmm. I wonder in general what their success rate of getting somebody to change that opinion.
I don't know that it's very high. I totally grant that. But I would also say that we have a nice group of clients, and I think they get it, and I think that they have a lot less angst day to day. I think they just simply do because they get that this isn't about the day-to-day movements. It's not about guessing whether we should be in gold. We ought to worry about Shemitahs and blood moons and weird stuff like that. They get that this plays out, that stocks go up to all-time highs, and then they correct.
Well, see, that's the thing. All you need to do and all you should have to do mm-hmm. is show somebody the history.
Yes.
I mean, you don't know the future. You know the past.
Right.
You say, this is the way it's going to be. I mean, this is the way it's been, and there's no reason to think it's going to change. And if they don't see that, then there's no hope, you know.
No, and it's true. You know, I've talked about this many, many times, as you know. I've talked about it, given the story for the last, since 1970, say, whether it's a Procter & Gamble story or just in general. And we talk about all the bad things that have happened. But, you know, when people get locked in, and they do, and most of us do, we'll get locked in about certain things. But I've actually had people say, I'm not here to hear about some kind of a history lesson. Okay. So, in other words, you don't want to change your opinion. Period. No matter what the evidence is, you don't want to hear it. Or you talk about it, and they've like... So what you're saying is we should buy gold because Donald Trump's going to be the president. We're going to have a trade war. What? Where did you get that out of that? Well, I don't know where I got that. I thought that's what you said. And those are the things that people do get locked in, and they really do. And I think sometimes it's just perplexing when you just go, wow, I don't know what the future is. That wasn't what I was saying. I wasn't saying that at all. I wasn't saying that I have more knowledge about it, that this is the only avenue of investment. This just doesn't make sense to me to buy a pet rock and – hope it goes up in value is the only thing it does.
Yeah. Well, you know that people will always, like you say, back to Procter & Gamble, always need toilet paper. Mm-hmm.
Soap. I hope they always need soap. I love it. I love nice-smelling girls. That just, I love that. I love clean hair and all those things. And I just think that that's a wonderful thing that we all have soap. And Procter & Gamble just brings it to the stores all over the world.
Yeah, ever so often I'm in the proximity. Not this much, but ever so often I'm in the proximity of a good-looking female, and they do smell awfully good.
You should probably try to get in the proximity more often. I'm just saying, Jim.
I don't want to kill their fragrance.
That's a good. We all appreciate it.
Have a great weekend.
Yep, you do the same. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Let's go to Dennis. Dennis, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I haven't purchased shares for quite a while, for a number of years, and I always hold my shares myself. But I called in to my broker and I ordered some shares, and at the time I requested that the shares be sent to me in certificate form, and she said that that isn't done anymore, and most companies don't like doing that, and they would rather you had it held in by the transfer agent or on street by street, street address or whatever.
Street name, street name, you got it, Yeah.
And I just thought that was bizarre, and I just wanted to know if that's true, that that's the trend, or
it is, Dennis. And even if you can get the certificates, they'll charge you for them. It's an expensive thing, and I think it's a very, very bad idea. Okay, to have your own certificates, and I think that's part of, you can do fine with that. You can have them, keep them in your safety deposit box. But the question then becomes why. And then there's a stock split, but then the biggest problem is this. Someday you're going to die.
Right.
It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. Every certificate needs paperwork, every single one. And that's assuming you don't lose your capacity somewhere along the lines. And forget about the fact that AT&T became da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And all those certificates are sitting in a drawer somewhere, or they got thrown away.
Yeah.
If it's in street name, all of that is done. One set of paperwork, history, it's over. That's it. And all of the other things are done through the transfer agent for you, or I should say in this case, for your heirs. But the worst part in my mind is then the dividend checks come to your house instead of going into an account, and people get old, and you know what I'm saying. It can be a lot to manage. So, okay. Dennis, we don't recommend that ever, because also now, let's say you really don't like what's happening with you heard this company is now dealing with the SEC because there could be some wrongdoing. It's Valiant, okay? It's last year. Yeah. It's Valiant. You own Valiant. So now you want to sell it. You can't. You got to go to the bank, go get your certificate, send it in. What if you say, "Well, I don't have it at the bank. Why would I do that?" Because it can get lost or stolen, destroyed. And do you know how expensive it is to get a new certificate? It's 2% or a minimum of, I think, about $350. So it's very expensive. Dennis, there's no upside to keeping the certificates anymore because you can still get all of the information you want. You can certainly get it online anyway. But you can still have them mail you all of the annual reports, things like that, that used to be in the old days. People go, no, I want to make sure I get my certificate here so I get all that stuff. Yeah. You can anyway.
I see. Well, as far as the safety of the brokerage firm, if they were to dissolve, is there a chance you'd lose that money because the brokerage firm held those shares?
What an excellent question. I'm glad you asked that question. I'm sorry I ignored that piece because that's very important. First of all, the custodian firm, the money is separate. The brokerage firm can and does go under. Think Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, both went away. No, nobody lost any stock, right? They lost money if you invested in Bear Stearns or Lehman Brothers, but none of their clients lost. And that's because the money is custodied separate. It's like a trust. Okay, so the answer is yes, and it's insured. And by the way, if you read about SIPC Insurance, Securities Investment Protection Corp, that is simply says you have $500,000 of coverage. No, you don't. All of them carry unlimited because you can't have a pension fund with billions of dollars in it and things like that if it's not insured unlimited. I've never heard of a problem, and I don't think it's something to worry about. But great question.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm just old school, and it made me nervous.
I know exactly why you're old school. That used to be the way to do it, man. It's get those certificates, put them at home. Absolutely. That has changed over the last 30 years. Don't do it.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate your help.
You got it, Dennis. Thank you for your call. Bye. Bye-bye. And our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we've got Marty, and maybe we've got you. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's talk station. 580 KITO.
Hello, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. 580-5436 is our number. And hey, if you have any comments, questions, and all during the week, petsofinancial.com. And also, we've got podcasts there for past programs, as well as we've got articles and calculators to help you with your own financial planning. So right now, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Marty. Marty, thanks for calling.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I didn't catch all of your show this morning, sorry, but I kept hearing you say that you cannot get stock market returns without fear of loss, and so I wanted to call and say it is possible to do that. I am not an agent, but I've done a lot of shopping, and my point is that it's not the agent that's making the guarantee. It is the insurance company, and almost all companies that sell an indexed annuity are going to guarantee you that you will not lose your principal. So
absolutely, I have no question about that.
Multi-billion-dollar companies.
Marty, we I understand that. I've said that for years. You are not going to lose, but you're not. It is guaranteed. And there's even some state insurance guarantees. But how do you get market returns?
Well, the problem there, and probably I missed your explanation, but yes, on a 20% return year, they're gonna enforce their cap. That might only be one, or it might be three, or it might be two. I went to a dinner a few months ago, and we had about 20 or 30 people. We were eating our dinner, and the guy up front gave us background. He'd been doing it 20-some years, said who his wife was. Well, I even knew his wife. I said, well, maybe this guy is okay. He said that they had a company with a 10% sign-up bonus, which is not that uncommon, but that's good, and a 10% cap. And I said, wow. So I waited till everything was over and stuck around a while, and he came over to the table. I said, I would like to know what company that was, and he told me, and I said, they give a 10% sign-up bonus and a 10% cap? Well, now, you know, the company has to make money, too, and kind of boil down to maybe you'd get your 10% bonus, but it ended up being a 1% cap. But there he was right up in front of everybody making these other promises. And not only that, I'm retired. I'm 73. That on a year that you're guaranteed not to lose your principal, you have to take your required minimum distribution. So your 150 is going to go down that amount. So they're not going to call it a loss. And then they have their built-in cost of these products, too. And so your principal could be going down without calling it a loss. So, yes, there's some guaranteed returns, but there's also going to be expenses that's going to come out of that.
Yeah, and they're huge.
But the guy is not lying when he says you get stock market return or you can participate in the stock market returns without fearing any losses.
He is lying to say that you are getting stock market returns. You are not.
Well, you are not getting stock market returns
if they have a 1 or 2 or 3% cap on it or they pay you 10. I'm sorry, I'm really low on time, Marty. I appreciate you chiming in, though. Thank you so much.
You bet.
And have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Well, thank you. You too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
And unfortunately, we are down to our last minute here. Listen, you've heard me talk about the annuities. You got it. To me, it's common sense. It's really common sense. Everybody knows you cannot have stock market returns without stock market risk. I just want full disclosure. That's all. I just want people to know that the commissions are extremely high and that eventually comes out of the customer's pockets. And any bonuses that are paid up front are taken back. There is no such thing as a free lunch. There never has been. And our acceptance of the history, the abundance of the great corporations of the world and their abilities to work through all kinds of bad situations is what we should be coming to. Not trying to figure out some packaged products that promises panacea that it can't deliver. Have a great weekend.